one. And we'd like to think on this line, if the Lord would direct us and help us, I'd like to think about what the church's part is in people being saved. You ever consider that? What is the church's part for people to be saved? You know, I've heard all kinds of things. You know, if I'll pray hard enough, they'll get saved. If I get right, they'll get saved. When the church gets right, they'll get saved. Is that true? Can I pray hard enough, long enough, that this man over here gets saved, that this woman gets saved? By the Word of God, and I realize this will be controversial. You know, if this goes out on the podcast, it'll be controversial. But Jeremiah said, and I believe we could find other scripture to line up with that, that salvation is of the Lord. So is there a part for the church to do? I believe that there is. Absolutely that there is. So I don't believe there's a better place. Maybe there is, and I can certainly be corrected. But I believe the book of Acts would be a wonderful place for us to look and see what the obligation and the job of the church is. So let's look in chapter number 1. I'll begin in verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up unto heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken away from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Then returned they unto Jerusalem from Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem about a Sabbath's day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I believe we'll stop right there. So as we think about this, you know, the Lord told his disciples, he said, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples." Right? Now, how in the world are you going to do that? How are you going to go into all the world and make disciples? He says this in the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Then the 11 went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, this is the last few verses of Matthew 28. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So if we're to make disciples, how in the world are we going to do that? Are we able to do that? Can we make disciples? But you know, he said, "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." So if we're going to make disciples, he said, "Go ye into all of the world, preaching teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. So it sounds to me like we need help. It sounds to me like the disciples needed help. He tells us in the book of Luke, chapter number 24, he says these words. Very familiar, I realize this. But he says to us in Luke 24, "And behold the promise of my Father," 49, "and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Is that the key? So, Jesus is gone, day 40. They're left alone. He says, "Go and tarry at Jerusalem. I want you to go there and I want you to stay there." And really, I believe he's saying this. It's in the Bible what they did after what I read. They brought another apostle in. Now, I can't really find any evidence that was God's will. No. I do see that they did that. But you know who the apostle that God wanted to brought in? Paul. Right. Is that true? I believe you'll be able to find that and line that up. But the church, as it was, 120 people, the 11 disciples, apostles, these men were acting in the latter part of this chapter right here under their own direction, drawing lots. And I realize they said, "Lord, you direct it." But we don't find that it never brought anything to avail. There was nothing come out of that. So he said, "I want you to tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power." So if we're going to do anything, if the church is going to do anything, this is for us sitting here today, folks. This will fit, and this will still work today. What is the church's part in people being saved? What is my part? What is your part in people being saved? So let's look. By the Word of God, the next 10 days was spent in prayer. The next 10 days was spent together. The next 10 days was spent with a oneness of mind, a oneness of heart, with a focus. And the focus was this: they were praying for the promise of God. And you might say, "Well, why did they pray?" Well, let me ask you this. Has there been anything that God has said was His will that you prayed for? Absolutely. You know what I need? I need to bring me to the will of God. Is that true? You know what Paul prayed for? I tell you, Paul prayed that thorn in the flesh might be removed, didn't he? Prayed for it, and the Bible said that he prayed. I believe that he really did pray. I believe that it really did come from the heart, and I believe it reached God. You might say, "Well, it don't look like it reached God until the third time." Daniel prayed for 21 days, and the Bible said, "I heard you the first day." So did he pray? But he continued to pray, did he not? So the disciples are gathered together, and they're gathered together and they're praying. And what are they praying for? I believe they're praying for the power of God. I believe that they're praying for the clothing. "Stay, tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with power." Now I want to ask you this. How often do you see the power of God manifested in the church? How often do you see the church as a body The manifestation of the power of God. See, we can sleep right here in the church service today. Church don't mean very much to people. It don't. It don't mean much to people. If anybody's going to be saved, it's going to be through the workings of the church. But now let's be careful that we don't attribute the workings of God to the church. The salvation that God brings to the church. But the church has a job to do. Now let's look at this. So by the word of God, they went back to Jerusalem. And the word of God said, when they were come, they went up into an upper room where they abode. Both Peter and John, James and John and Andrew and Alphaeus, the disciples, and the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'll tell you this, friend, that if we're going to see people saved, we're going to have to come together. We're going to have to come together and be unified. There's going to have to be a unity. I believe there will have to be a unity both in body and in mind and in spirit. We're going to have to come unified. Listen. Are we here today to be unified on the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we here today just to show up and to go through the motions? Or are we here today to put in, to do something, to have a part? Is there anything for me to do today? Am I always a consumer and never one that brings anything to put in? If all of these right here are nothing but consumers, would there have been 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost? I ask you today, from Cameron all the way around to Donna, what have we come for today? Is there anything for us to do today? Has God laid anything on our heart? Has there been anything from Wednesday night till Sunday morning that God has impressed, God has done, God has shown, God has led us to do? Is there anything today that we might add unto the service of God? We're living in a world of consumers today. And the people that are paying and the people that are putting in are getting less and less and less. And the consumers are getting more and more and more. So it falls that same way in the church today, doesn't it? Everybody wants to be an eater, but nobody wants to bring anything to put in the pot. What should we be doing? By the word of God, you think with me. I'm not mad. But I want you to realize this, folks. Without the Holy Spirit of God, without the preaching of the gospel, without the indwelling of God Almighty in our services, there's nobody going to be saved. Now, they're here and they're in unity. Though diverse, isn't it wonderful? Thank God. I want you to look at this verse. There is no separation of the women from the men here. No, they're all together. Now, in the temple, you know, if they went down to the synagogue, there wouldn't have been any togetherness. The women would have had to stay in the women's court, and the men would have been over here in another court. But you know what we can do today? I thank God the men and the women can all come together. And friend, we can come in unity of a cause of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. So can the women join in? And can the men join with the women? Can we join with one another in prayer? Can we join with one another in unity? Are we one by the Holy Spirit of God? Are we not? Does the Bible not say that there's no women? There's no wind, no men. There's no free. There's no bond. But friend, where are we? Friend, we're all in Christ. So, what is the part of the church? So, by this word of God, this time, we've got 10 days. You know what they're doing while they're tarrying? Tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. What are they doing while they're tarrying? They're praying. I'll tell you that they're in unity. They are praying. They're all together. The women's there. The men's there. Our friend, the mother of the Lord Jesus is there. The 11 disciples are there. They're all there. And I'll tell you what they've got. They've got one goal. Our friend, I ask us this morning, what's our goal? What is our goal? What is your goal on coming to church? What is the goal that you have when you come down to the church house? What is your goal? Their goal, ladies and gentlemen, is that God Almighty, I would manifest Himself through the person of the Holy Spirit. Their goal was that the Comforter would come. That was the goal. Our goal ought to be that the Comforter would come in our service. Our goal ought to be, for me individually, that the Comforter would come in my life. Your goal ought to be that God would show up as the Comforter and the Holy Spirit, and God would use you in this service. Should that not be our goal? Is that our goal? Did you think this morning to pray? Did you think this morning to pray and ask God for the Holy Spirit to be upon you and bless you and strengthen you that you could help somebody else when you come down to the church house? Let's be honest. Have we? What's their goal? Their goal is to see the Holy Spirit of God come. That's their goal. Now, we read this morning in John chapter 15 that without me, you can do nothing. So, you might say, well, that was Jesus. That's exactly right. That was Jesus. That was Jesus who was God in the flesh. Right? So without God in the flesh, we can do nothing. Let me ask you this. Can we have God in the flesh? Through the person of the Holy Spirit, can we have God in the flesh? Do we need God in the flesh? Do we need the indwelling of God in us? Can we do anything without Him? He said, I'm going to go away. You keep my commandments. You follow my will and my word. You follow that, and me and my Father will come and we'll make our abode with you. Is that true? Can we do anything without Him? Let me ask you this. What are we getting done? What are we getting done? What are we getting done down at the church? What's being done down at the church? A form of godliness? Is that what's being done down at the church? We can do nothing without Him, and nothing is being done. What do you reckon's wrong? Let's look. So the Bible said they went back to Jerusalem, and their desire was that the Holy Spirit of God would come upon them. Now they wanted to do, they had a longing to do, a desire to do, but they had no ability to do. And neither do I. I know this. I know you'd like to see your family saved. I know you'd like to see your wife and your son and your daughter and your husband and your kin folks. You'd like to see a manifestation of God in their lives to know that they're saved. But you can't do that. You're unable to do that. And you can talk till your tongue falls off and you won't gain any ground. But I tell you that through you and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, God is the convincer. So what are they doing? This is what the Bible says. And they all continued. So let's think about where they're at. They're all together. So there is there diversity there? Absolutely. There is diversity there. But there's unity there as well. Now, you just think about this. Think about the colors in that tie right there. How did they make a black dye? How did they make a blue dye? How did they make a gray dye? I tell you, there was different colors that were mixed together to make one color. You and I are all diverse one from another. But when we come together as the body of Christ, we can be one being. They were there. There was men. There was women. There were fishermen. There were tax collectors. There was a doctor. There were all kinds of people there. Friend, all multitudes of people, men and women alike. And friend, they were all diverse one from another. But I'll tell you what brought them together. The Holy Ghost of God brought them together that they might work as a unit. God, help us that we might pray for the unity of the Spirit, that the Holy Ghost of God might unify us in all of our diversity, that we might be able to be a church, ladies and gentlemen, that the Spirit and the power of God would work in, that He could accomplish His desire. So, as you think about this, now who's the director of this unity? Who's the head of this unity? God Almighty is the head. We read to you last Sunday that the head of the church of the body of Christ is Jesus. So now, is Jesus the head of all of these? Absolutely. They're all following His lead. They're all doing what He told them to do. The women are, the disciples are, the other 115 people or so, 112 people, 110 people, 108 people, however you want to look at it, they're all following the direction and the headship and the leadership of the Lord Jesus. Friend, if I'm not going to follow the Word of God, you know why? Friend, God can't use me. So they're unified under one leader, one head, one authority. I realize Peter stands up, and I don't have any rocks to throw, but that's just like Peter to stand up. That's just like him to go off a fishing and everybody else follow him. That's just like him to say we need to appoint another man to take Judas's place. What about what God thought? Did God direct them to do that? No, ma'am, and no, sir. God gave no direction on that because He said the last thing He told them to do was to tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power. What can we do? We can't do anything without Him. I know that. And I know that without Him, there'll be nothing done. So, according to this Word of God, here is the unity. Listen to what He says in Hebrews chapter number 10. I realize we looked here not too awful long ago. But He says this. And let us consider one another, 10 and 24. Let us consider one another to provoke, that means to incite, unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling together. That word means complete collection. Was all of the church there? They were all there. 120 of them. That's all the believers that were there, and they were all there collected together. A friend, when the church gathers together, we ought to be there. You know something? We ought to be there in mind as well as body. Right. If we're going to sleep through the whole service, we just as well be at the house. Can God use a sleeper? Can God use people that pay no attention? Can God use you if you have no desire to be here? But why did they gather together? Well, I tell you this, according to what Paul writes to the Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling together of the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You know what he's going to do? He's going to encourage. He's going to call near. Why, I feel like I'm about ready to fall out. Well, I want you to know this. Come down to the church, and the church will call you near. We want you to go with us. Moses said to Jethro, he said, why don't you go with us? We'll do you good. I tell you, the church will do you good, folks. If we're unified, even in our diversity, if we're unified around the Word of God and around the goal of God, what should be our goal? They're praying, right? They're continuing. They're persevering in prayer. They are looking for, with an expectation for God to come through with what He said. What should I get down at the church? I should get exhortation. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but exhorting one another to call near, to be a comfort, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What kind of day are we living in? We're living in a day, friend. Now just imagine where they were at. Here they were, the man that they had put all their faith and trust in, they had sold their lives out. Peter said, we've left all.
Right.
What are we going to gain? He's gone. He's gone. He's not dead, though. He arose from the dead and abode with them. From a day of crucifixion till 40 days later, He's been with them. From the morning of the resurrection to day 40, He's been with them. He has convinced them of His power, that He is the Son of God. And friend, that same Son of God has promised unto you and I that if you'll abide in me, I'll abide in you, and me and the Father will come and we'll dwell with you, and you can ask what you will and it'll be done. What's our goal? Why are we coming? So the Word of God says this, they continued, that word means persevering or constant attention. And these all, nobody laying at the house. There was nobody that wasn't included. You know something? We ought to consider. I say to you, we ought to consider one another. We ought to consider when we don't show up. We ought to consider when we give no regard. We ought to consider when we don't regard our brother and our sister, our friend, like we regard that man or that woman or that one over there. We ought to consider what kind of effect that we're having on those individuals that we act like and we portray in our actions that they're of no value. That part of the church is of no value. I would that you could consider yourself. I would that you would consider, a friend, if it was you, how that you would like the church to pray for you. I would that you would consider how you would like the church how to give you your attention unto you, unto what you have on your heart. I would today that we were in unity. Self. That's who we think about. Self. Self. It's all about self. Well, let me tell you this. These 120, it wasn't about self. It was about God Almighty coming by that they could carry out and that the world could have what they had. We're saved today.
You reckon anybody else needs to be saved? Would you like for those that you work with, those that you sleep with, those that eat at your table, those that eat your bread, would you like for them to be saved? We ought to consider what we're doing. They're here for one purpose, and they are in unity. They have laid aside their lives. They have laid aside their desires and their wishes and their wants. And I'm not saying that you can lay aside 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, your doings and your life, a friend, to do the work of God. But I'll say this, that friend, there is a time and there is a season, a friend, that we should lay aside, and if we can't do it naturally 100%, God help us that we can do it spiritually. God help us. I'll tell you the reasons much of our actions come from a lack in here. A lack in the heart is the reason that many of our actions are as they are. And there's unconcern. I tell you that they pass the time from day 40 into day 50. They pass the time in prayer and supplication unto God. For His presence. They had a job to do. Go ye into all the world and make disciples. Is that still true? How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? Do you see how inept that they felt? Do you see how concentrated their effort was that they could have the power of God in their life to carry out what God had called them to do? What's God called you to do? Now let's just think about it. So here's a man that lived 84 years and he passed away. In the grand scheme of things, what was the most important thing that 84 years, what was the greatest accomplishment in that life?
Salvation.
He didn't accomplish that.
He accepted it.
I'll agree with that. But what did he do? What was his greatest accomplishment? What was their desire? To carry out the work of God that God had saved them and called them to do. Did God save me to be an electrician? Did God save you to be a manager? Did God save you to be a nurse? Did God save you to be a mechanic? Why did God save you? Did He save you for a greater work in the end of 85 years and you die? Reckon there would be something in the resume. I don't mean this seriously or being silly, but in your resume, wonder what we could bring before God that would be our greatest accomplishment. Reckon it could be a surrender? Reckon it could be that God could use this little vessel that we could help somebody else to see the need to be saved? They spent 10 days continually in prayer and supplication unto God. Now listen. They wasn't praying for people to be saved. They were praying for the Holy Ghost. He's the one that does the saving. I don't need to pray that people will be saved. I realize that that'll be controversial too. But let me ask you this. If I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray, will that get them saved? But if I pray for the Holy Ghost, will that do? I tell you, we're barking up a tree. We're a false tree, and this won't work. This ain't worth a dime. What we need is the indwelling of the power of God. Don't you worry about who will be saved. You get the Holy Ghost of God on the scene and the preaching of the gospel on the scene, God will save who He will. So the Bible said these all continued in one accord. So they're unified, and they're unified. Not only are they all together, I tell you, they got the same spirit about them. I'm not talking about they've got the Holy Spirit. I'm saying they've got the same spirit about them. And friend, their desire and their longing and their goal is that the Son of God would show up and be with them, that they might be endued with power. They might be clothed. That word means to sink into a garment. Friend, what do we need today? We need the empowering. We need to be clothed with the Holy Ghost. And they continued with one accord. So there's a harmony there. There's a harmony of view. There's a harmony of feelings. There's a harmony, and the desire and the spirit that is in them is that the power of God might dwell upon them and reach them. That the promise of God is the promise of God only for the disciples. So should we have the promise of God? I mean, is the promise of God in Liberty Baptist Church with 57 people this morning, is the promise of God for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for us to be clothed with the Spirit of God, is that for 5 people? Who's it for?
Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, he says this. You parents, I know this. I see it. You leave that alone. That ain't good for you. Don't you touch that. That'll hurt you. You stay away from that, you'll get hurt. Don't you put that in your mouth. That's no good. Now, if you know how to correct and direct your children, and you're evil, and there's nothing good in you, but you've got more sense than they do, and you've got more experience than they have, and you've got more brains than they've got. I don't mean that in the wrong way, but you know what's best for them. If that's true, what should we ask for? What would be the best thing that we could ask for? Daddy, I want a motorcycle. Mama, I want this dress right here. That's no good for you. That's not good for you. I know what's best for you. Listen to me and let me help you. If God, you think God knows what's good for us? What should we ask for? By the word of God, chapter number 11 in the book of Luke, this man's got a friend that come to him. And you know what he's got to set before him? Nothing. He has absolutely nothing to set before his friend. His friend is on the journey of life, if you'll have it that way, and he's got nothing to set before him. What do you reckon you and I need to set before our friend and before our neighbor and before those that we're around that's in the journey of life and here they are starving to death? I tell you what we need. We need the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we need. Preacher, I believe what I need to do is I need to give them a loaf of bread. Well, that's well and good. If they're starving to death, you give them a loaf of bread. If they're dying and going to hell, why don't you ask for the Holy Ghost? Because that's what they really need. What they really need is salvation, and the only way they can get salvation is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God works through somebody. I have to give it to them.
That's right.
I'm going to give you what the book says. Luke 11:11. If a son asks bread of any of you, will the father give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? So let's glean a little out of that verse. How much more shall your heavenly Father, are you saved? Is God your Father? Have you been saved through and by what Jesus Christ has done? If you have been saved, then God's your Father. Now, if God's your Father, He knows what's best for you. He knows what's good for you. If your Father, if you know how to give what's good for your children, how much greater shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Who's left out? You tell me, out of that verse, who is left out? Are you saved? How can you be left out then? If you're saved, then the only variable in that equation is ask, isn't it? Is that not true? Are we asking? Are we pleading? Are we petitioning? Are we seeking after God that He might give us the Holy Spirit? Can you recognize the Holy Spirit? Do you think you could recognize the Holy Spirit? You can. All right, if we can recognize the Holy Spirit, how much Holy Spirit are we seeing in our services? How much of the Holy Spirit are we seeing in our services? I'm talking about from me to every one of you that claims to be saved. How much of the Spirit and the power of God are we seeing in our services? Why aren't we seeing Him? Why is He not manifesting Himself? Why is the power of God not manifest? I'll tell you right here is a big part of the reason. Because, ladies and gentlemen, from Wednesday night until Sunday morning, what we're doing most of our time is not praying, not seeking after God, not studying the Word of God, not consecrating ourselves unto God, but our desire and our longing is entertainment. That's all that men can think about today, is being entertained from the television and the telephone, and from all the things of the world takes our mind and takes our time and takes every spare minute that we've got. And friend, no wonder that we don't have the Spirit of God. Our life is filled up with entertainment instead of seeking after the power of God. That's right. That's all our world can think about today is entertainment. I've lived here many a time. And leave here, whether I go down the road or up the road or across the hill. You know what I see? I'm here, I lock the doors up. I'm the last one to leave. And friend, before I can get a half a mile up the road, you know where you are? Sitting in front of the television. That's where you are. In front of the television. Lost and undone family. People are going to hell. No power of God in the service. And friend, what I want to do is get my mind off of the service of God and be entertained. I'll tell you, that's why we're not seeing people saved. Oh, preacher, that's a work of God, you said. Is the Holy Spirit a work of God? Is the Holy Spirit on the pew, on the mourner's bench? Is the Holy Spirit in this book right here? Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In the hearts of the believer. So if there's no Holy Spirit in the church,
I can start with me. And we can go all the way around the church. And if there's no Holy Spirit in the church, the problem must be with us as individuals, mustn't it? Because He said, you ask. How much more shall your Father give you the Holy Spirit, them who ask? My God, what are we asking for? What are we asking for? You asked for the Holy Spirit lately? What have you asked for? Health, money, things of this world. That's what we ask for. Our people are dying and going to hell. Our churches are drying up everywhere you look. And we're asking for things to please the flesh. This church, this to be church, there's a church here. There was a church in the wilderness according to the Word of God. There was a church that crossed over Jordan. There was a little remnant of the church that came out of Egypt that crossed over Jordan. Two of them. Look where we are today, folks. Look where we are. We got a form of godliness with no power. We're coming and we're sitting through the services and we're doing the same thing that we've done for the last 20 years. We've done the same thing we've done for the last 6 months. No testimony. Nothing that God's not shown me a thing all week that I need to share with anybody. Well, I wonder whose fault that is. I wonder why that I'm bigger. This is the way that a preacher, I'm shy and I don't say much. What you're saying to me is you're bigger than God that lives within you. God's not big enough to well up in you. I want you to know this. These men, I believe they were some shy men there. They wasn't ever one like Peter. I'll tell you this, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost of God came, they weren't shy any longer.
That's right.
They were acting quite strange and unusual. In fact, the whole crowd said, I believe they're drunk.
How long has it been since anybody come into the church and said, I believe he's drunk? It's what Eli said about Hannah. She's drunk.
So, I believe you could say from that it looks like that a person that's under the influence of the Holy Spirit acts in a way that's abnormal to their normalcy. They're acting in a way that's not in line with the way they normally act. But I tell you what, it got Eli's attention. And what Hannah had in her heart got God's attention.
Yes, it did.
Is that not what we need today? How long will you tell me this? How long do you think they prayed? They prayed 10 days. They were together. I don't know. I wouldn't think so, naturally speaking. I wouldn't think that they were together 24 hours a day for 10 days. But I believe that they gathered together every day. And they continued in prayer and supplication unto God, the disciples, the women, the mother of the Lord Jesus. That whole crowd was together and they were in one mind and one accord. They were under the leadership and the direction of the head who is God Almighty. And they had one goal. And that goal was for the Spirit and the power of God. Now, do you think that Luke 11 is a mistake? We ought to pray and faint not, Luke 18. The unjust judge said, I'm not granting her petition. I don't care nothing about her. She kept coming, didn't she? Over and over and over and over again. But the Bible says about those sons and daughters of God, will he not avenge his own children quickly? That's not a quote. So let me ask you this. How long do you think I need to wait for the Holy Spirit of God to come in my life? For the Holy Spirit of God to manifest himself in our services? For those people that are here today and they're lost and going to hell, what if they don't come back? What would the importance of the Holy Spirit of God in the church today be? Oh, preacher, that person's salvation is in the hand of God. So does that mean that you escape scot-free with no penalty, no place in there that you are held liable for anything? Let me ask you this. Joseph's brothers, did they do him wrong? Did God say they did him wrong? Did Joseph say that they meant it for evil? Now, God carried out his will. But did that mean that they weren't guilty? So if somebody leaves here today lost and undone, and you and I have no Spirit of God in our lives, does that make us not guilty? Am I accountable? Let me ask you this. I'm not accountable for that person that's lost. But am I accountable for my actions? Am I accountable for me having or not having the Holy Spirit of God in my life? All right then. Quit trying to find a way out. And let's come down to the Word of God. So, he says in 18 in the book of Luke, though he would not avenge her. What did she want? She wanted to be avenged of her adversary. What did she want? She wanted justice. Would you give me justice? I've got this adversary that's trying to destroy my life. Would you do what's right? I can't do what's right. I'm unable. I don't have the power. But you do. Could we ask God for that? I mean, he said that he would give his Spirit to those that ask. That's the Word of God. So as you think about that, let's look just a little bit more. These all continued with one accord. So they're persevering. They're given constant attention to prayer and supplication. And they're in unity of mind. They're in unity of heart. Their desire is that they might see, feel, experience, enjoy the Spirit and the power of God in their lives. He said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Right? What do you reckon is hindering us from having the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, by this Word of God, they prayed. And they continued in prayer. And they had a unity of mind, a unity of heart. They were persevering. They had one purpose. They had one Spirit. I tell you, friend, it wasn't you pray for my object. Forget about yours. You pray for my object. No, I tell you this. Would this be good? Would this be good? I don't know what Cameron's object is. Camden's object. I don't know what Rex's object is. I don't know what Jessica's object is or what Dwight's object is. But let me ask you this. Could we all unify on this, that we all need the Holy Spirit of God to reach our object? So there's the unifier. There is the central. There is the purpose of the whole body. That we might be endued with power. Huh.
How much praying would you say that we're doing? Seeking for the Holy Spirit of God in our lives.